Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
So, yeah, last week, and there's absolutely no... I don't ask for any apologies if you've heard me speak out of Ephesians 6 in the last week, because I have done it three times. And I was challenged, actually, through what Bill Hogg said over the weekend of his ministry here. I listened to him three times, and he talked a lot about marinating in the Word of God, about focusing on passages of Scripture and digging deep and trying to get as much as you can out of, you know, a passage. And because I think for the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of speed reading. Obviously, I've been studying passages for messages and all that, but actually my own quiet time has been like, I've been trying to get through, you know, the whole Bible and the New Testament twice in a year. And I've got me, you know, me thing I fill out every day and trying to get through me five chapters or whatever it is. And, but Bill was talking about actually just dwelling in a passage sometimes. And I think for the last week, I've been dwelling largely in Ephesians chapter 6. And the Bible's got so much to say to us, hasn't it? It's a living word. So every time we come to it, you can get fresh revelation and God can say something fresh and special to you. The other thing that Bill Hogg said, and some of us will have heard him say this, that really shocked me was, he said only 20% of Christian leaders finish well. I mean, when he said that, I was like, what? You know, think of the leaders in this room. Well, statistics say that only 20% of us will go the distance. Only 20% of us won't give in to bitterness and discouragement, disillusion, or fall into some kind of sin. And we've had more stories, haven't we, in the last month of leaders not finishing well, who, you know, are going to heaven, but their reputations are ruined and their ministry is undermined by all that stuff because we have a battle going on. But we also celebrated, haven't we, a man who did finish well. Billy Graham went the distance, didn't he? And we've learned in many ways you think that was glory to glory and lots of ways it was, but there was also all kinds of challenges, you know, major health challenges at the end of his life, but even some of the stuff that went on in his family and just tremendous challenges. But Billy went the distance, didn't he? And what a crown, what a well done he will have received. And my heart is that we go the distance. And Paul wrote these beautiful words in Ephesians chapter 6 to help us to do that, help us to be people who go the distance. In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, he said, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I don't think Paul's talking about heaven there. I think he's talking about the prize, the big prize of the well done, good and faithful servant, the prize of people we've invested in and taken to heaven. I want to go the distance is Paul's heartbeat. And so he writes these words in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just read them from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The Bible says that the devil has schemes. It says that we need to take our stand against the devil's schemes. You know what a scheme is? According to the dictionary, it's a large-scale, systematic plan to achieve a specific outcome. So Satan has a large-scale, systematic plan to achieve a specific outcome, and it is that you and I don't finish well. That's his goal. That we don't mature and we don't start to multiply. He's got a plan. The thing he's terrified of is Christians who mature and start to multiply and the whole thing's out of control and his wicked schemes start to collapse around his ears. But he's got a plan to stop that happening. A scheme against you. And it's a battle bigger than any of us imagine. Listen to what Paul says. And sometimes, you know, we live in this society, don't we, where perhaps we're not aware of that as much as other places around the world. But Paul says, there's an enemy coming against us. There are rulers and authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Peter puts it like this: our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So there is a devil and he's out to get us. And not only that, but he's succeeding in getting a lot of people. If you live in where we live, the devil tends to operate in a much more subtle, under the radar way. You know, he's like, his big attack is consumerism, materialism, comfort, ease. If he can just keep us in that box so that the riches of this life choke what God wants to do so we don't mature, happy days for the enemy. But if you go to Africa, large parts of Africa, or in the Middle East, he's a lot more in your face. My friend went on a preaching tour of Africa, and just about the first thing that happened, he's preaching the gospel at the front. Some woman starts ripping her clothes off. And by the time he's got a topless woman at the front being carried out, he's like, this is a bit different. He went to preach at another place, and a woman, Mike Hack, a woman in the middle of the service starts massively manifesting and screaming, and then went up in the air, spinning like a top 20 feet off the ground. You know, not the average day for a gospel preacher, but it's just so much more in your face, isn't it? The work of the enemy with all the witch doctors and all the powers of evil and, you know, and light are coming together. Well, we need to be aware, just as much as they are in Africa, that there are rulers and authorities, there are powers in this dark world, there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm coming against us, so that when, not if, so that when the day of evil comes, and what Paul's talking about when he says the day of evil, he just means when the devil's having a field day. When the devil's having a right go, when the devil's trying to take you out, and there'll be points in your life when he will, when the day of evil comes, you'll take your stand. You'll be able to stand firm. You won't be taken out. Others may be taken out, and you won't be taken out because you'll heed Paul's warning and you will put on the full armor of God. And when he wrote this, Paul was almost certainly chained to a Roman soldier. Probably didn't have the full armor on, but he would be reflecting, I'm sure. And I love the fact even that Paul probably, you know, the evangelist, the missionary, the man with a call to the nations, is feeling a little bit boxed in. He's chained to this guy. I mean, I'm guessing he led the Roman soldier to the Lord. But he's feeling a little bit, I've got a bigger call on my life. But in this place of being boxed in, he does some of his most effective work, doesn't he? And 2,000 years later, the world is being blessed by what he wrote down. And the inspiration, you know, nothing can contain the man or woman of God from fulfilling God's purposes and going into multiplication. And he's looking at this guy and he's thinking, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these important words for our benefit. He said, so that when the day of evil comes, when the devil's having a right field day, and often attacks don't come one at a time, they come three at a time minimum. You know that, don't you? You see it coming against you. And it's just Satan trying to take you out. And the battle definitely ebbs and flows. We take our stand and we find we hit a season of ease, hit a season of relative peace. But doing what we're doing, we've decided that we're fighting an enemy, aren't we? We're fighting a battle. If we don't want a target, I used to say a target on our back. No, actually, somebody challenged me over that this week. Target is on our front. We've got a right target on our front. We've signed up for the message. And so in so doing, we've said, Satan, we're coming to get you. We're gonna attack you. We're going to fight your evil schemes and plans. We're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. And that's what we've chosen. That's the lifestyle we've chosen to live. That's the priorities we've chosen to have. And as such, we're in a right flipping battle, aren't we? That's our choice. But praise God, we've got armor to protect us. So that every scheme of the enemy will fail and every fiery dart will bounce off. If we're just wise people, we listen to the word of God and we put on the full armor of God. And the order was kind of important. Paul says, put on 6 pieces of armour. And he would have watched Roman soldiers put on these bits of armour one by one. He says, put on the belt of truth, buckled around your waist. Kind of holds everything together. The truth of the gospel. The truthful man or woman. The devil's a liar. Jesus is the truth. We are people who operate in truth. And it's interesting, isn't it? One of the reasons Billy Graham went the distance is that he was a man who operated in truth. One of his, you know, the Modesto Manifesto, we've talked about that. One of the key things they agreed that they were going to be different from other ministries was their publicity was going to be absolutely transparent and truthful. It's rubbish to say, oh, they're evangelistic movements, so they're a bit evangelistic. No, we're not going to be evangelistic. That's rubbish. We're going to be truthful. If we're evangelistic, we're operating in the devil's way, aren't we? Because he's a liar. We are people who operate in truth. And the truth of the gospel actually dispels every lie of the enemy. We also are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Interesting, isn't it? You know, I said our target's on our front. Good job, because the backs of Roman soldiers were not protected. They had this breastplate to protect their front because we face the enemy head on, but not in our own righteousness. We'd be stuffed, wouldn't we, every time? In Christ's righteousness. We're clothed by Christ. We're justified by Christ. And justified doesn't mean just as if you'd never sinned. It actually means just as if you were Jesus. And I stand against the enemy, the dirty, dark enemy, in Jesus' name and in his righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God, and so are you. Not because you deserve it, but that's what happened on the cross. You're accepted. You're right. I'm going to go into heaven on the basis of what he did. And I put on the breastplate of righteousness. The third thing we put on is the gospel boots, the shoes of the gospel. One of the reasons that the Roman Empire was so successful was this armor and these collegia, they're called, these special boots they were. Other armies wore great big metal boots clonking around. The Romans had these shoes that made them fleet of foot. They could go over great distances and over difficult terrain. Speaks to me of readiness and preparation, doesn't it? And firmness, so that you can go one day, as Ben did last week, and you're debating with the head of the humanist society in university, and you've got your theology head on, and but you're turning everything around to Jesus. And the next day, you can be in Forest Bank prison, speaking to broken ex-offenders and who've done some terrible things, and you know, you're fleet of foot, you've got the gospel shoes on, you know what to do in every situation. You understand what I mean? There's this sense that we're able, and it also speaks to me of a people who are ready to move, who aren't stuck, who are willing to go, and if God says it's time for your postcode to change, you change your postcode. You're available, and you have the shoes of the gospel on, and you have the shield of faith, which can quench every fiery arrow of the evil one. How many fiery arrows of the evil one can our shield of faith quench? Everyone. Everything Satan throws at you can be quenched through faith in Jesus Christ. Through putting your faith in Christ, the shield of faith. And if you know anything about, that's not such a great picture, because actually, sorry about that, Danielle, the rest was okay, but... Because actually the shield was a man-sized shield. It was an extra-large shield, the Roman soldiers, and specially designed so they could be locked together. And when the fiery arrows, as they did in those days, you know, arrows dipped in tar and set on fire, you've maybe seen this in some of the movies, when the fiery arrows, they would lock their shields together and cover themselves, and every fiery arrow would bounce off. If I just had my shield, there's a chance the fiery arrow is going to get me. But what a picture of the family of God, isn't it? What a picture of brothers and sisters in faith together. You know, when one person's struggling, well, let's lock swords. Let's say lock shields, rather, and protect ourselves. And every fiery arrow will bounce off. Fifth thing is the helmet of salvation. God's saving power. And in Roman days, The Jesus' day, the helmet would be, you know, you wouldn't be able to get an axe through it. It was metal, super reinforced. But it was often had some fancy plumage. They would have a headdress with it, something a little bit like that. There would be all sorts of, not quite like that, Danielle, but but she's having a go. You know what I'm talking about. And in fact, nothing like that. It's ruined my whole point. But the helmet of salvation, a strong but a beautiful thing, massively protective of our most vulnerable part, but actually beautiful. God's saving power is ultimately our only defense, that we're the saved. What can Satan do with a man or woman who was like Paul, the writer, who could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, I'm glad to live, but living's all about Jesus. But I'm looking forward even more in some ways to dying, because I'm going to see him face to face. What can Satan do with somebody like that? And then finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All other parts of the armor are defensive, but here we are suddenly on the offensive. All the rest is protective. But once we've got our feet firmly standing on truth, righteousness, faith, and the gospel, people, let's go. Let's go and fight. As long as we're thoroughly protected, let's go and fight. Let's go and fight the enemy and all his dirty, disgusting schemes, all the wicked things he wants to do around the world. Let's take up our little sword. And actually, that's spot on. Well done, Danielle. Because it's not a great big sword. It's a little, cheeky little sword for close combat. That's the sword Paul's talking about. We go right in there with a sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, and we do damage close up. And we kill the wicked schemes of the enemies. And we advance together with our sword of the Spirit. We're fully kitted out in our armor. And we pick up our little sword and we go for it, because it's the word of God. And that spoke to me about three things that are absolutely central to the message. If we're going to advance, if we're going to take ground, and we are, all over the world, I'm convinced of it, we're going to see the gospel advance. We're going to see the army taking ground. Beautiful, sacrificial, servant-hearted army, kitted out in faith and truth and righteousness and the gospel. And then we pick up the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God. And it speaks to me about the power of prayer. Yes, the prayer of faith is powerful when we speak out the word of God. We receive the word of God for our situation, and in faith we speak it out. Leonard Ravenhill, that scary evangelist preacher, said this: the devil laughs at our work, pours scorn on our labors, mocks our best efforts, but trembles when we pray. Do you believe that? I do. Satan is terrified of somebody who will speak out the word of God in faith, who will hear, perceive the word of God, and then speak it out. We've got no idea the power of prayer in this place. We'd be running to that prayer room this afternoon if we just knew the prayer of faith, the power, the things that happen. The Satan flees when the people of God speak out faith. You see, God's ordained there's power in feeble little me and you praying in faith. Things change, the devil flees, the kingdom advances, and we've got the word of God. We've got the word of God for this situation. We've got the word of God for this city. We just need to download it from heaven, speak it out, and stand on it and move forward with the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God. But also, of course, we've got the word of God. We've got the Bible, this amazing living word, every page dripping with anointing from heaven, a manual for living. We've got the most precious thing this life affords. And when Jesus faced his day of evil, when Satan threw everything at him in the desert, to 40 days of fasting and seeking the Father, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. And Satan had to back off because he was confronted by a man who knew the word of God and knew how to use it. And the sneaky way Satan twisted the word of God. But Jesus came right back. No, devil, it is written. And it says the day the devil left him and angels attended to him. We need to be men and women of the word. The word of the God that's the sword of the spirit. So that when the day of evil comes, we can say, it is written. I've got this word from the Lord. From his precious, priceless word. It's a living word. Do you believe it? We believe it, and we built our lives and we built this ministry on the fact that this is the word of God. All of it, bits we like, the bits we don't like, the bits we agree with, the bits we don't agree with. It's not my word, it's his word. And by faith, we're going to believe it all. And we're going to do everything we can to be faithful and teach this. We're not just evangelists, we're Bible teaching evangelists. We're people who believe. And Satan does not know what to do with people who are truly it is written people. So that when he throws his worst at us, we open the word of God. And finally, of course, it speaks about the gospel, doesn't it? The word of God, the good news, the greatest power in the universe is unleashed when simple men and women like me use the gospel wisely, the word of God. We're on firm foundation. We've got the sword of the spirit. So let's go out and rescue some people. Let's go out with our sword. Let's go into those prisons. Let's go into those communities. Let's go all over the world. Let's fight with this little gospel close up. There's another one rescued. There's another one. And we can celebrate these people one at a time. You know, I love the fact that, do you imagine William Booth, don't you? Our great hero, the great gospel preacher. But Sam was sharing about this meeting. We were just reading about this meeting in one of these Salvation Army books. And vast meeting, William Booth spoke at. And four people came forward. Not very impressive, William. You know, four people. Four. Is that all? But actually, four. Four. Four can become 40 and 4,000 and 4 million. 40 who grow and mature and don't give in when the day of evil comes. Four can take the world. Four can advance the kingdom. Four, it could be four Billy Grahams. Every time we see those hands get up, those people stand in prison, we've rescued one more. And if only they can mature and be people who put on the full armor of God and get their little sword out and start going rescuing people. Anything's possible, isn't it? Let's be people who are fully kitted out, who are fully so when the devil comes against us, which he will, it all bounces off. And all that happens is we advance for him and we take ground for him. And the devil's got a plan. He's the prince of this age, but God's got a plan. And it's not like some little arm wrestle going on, you know. Oh, devil's winning. Oh, Jesus is winning. Oh, devil's winning. Jesus wins every time. He's given us a manual to tell us what to do and how to win. So why don't we obey it? Why don't we live it? Why don't we be those people who live in truth, clothed with Christ's righteousness, walking forward in faith, who passionately love the gospel?
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.